You're listening to Central Time. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Rob Ferret. Lots of media sites are sharing best of lists this time of year, chock full of movies and music and books you may or may not have ever heard of. Why not make it more personal? Make your own list. Our next guest is a WPR reporter who annually makes a list of his favorite cultural things for the year, including movies, TV, books, albums, songs, and more. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What would you make your list? What would make your list for cultural favorites this year? What's something you read or you watched or listened to or played that's just stuck with you? Do you try to create an end-of-the-year list like this? Give us a call and share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Rob Mentzer is a WPR reporter based in Wausau. We've got a link to his favorite things of 2020 at WPR.org/Central Time. If you want to take a look, Rob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Keela. Keeley, thank you.
Yeah, well, let's talk just about the concept of the list first. They are everywhere, and you put together a roundup of culture picks every year. Why did you start doing that?
Yeah, so to say an obvious thing, but a year is a very long time, Keeley. I think that it's like that's very obvious in 2020, which, as we all know, has been one of the longest years of all time. But I think it's true any year. Just a lot of stuff happens. And so to me, there's a sort of there's a ritual to, in December, looking back on the things you did in January and February and so on through the year. And you were in a different place. They came to you at a different place. And it's like, it's a part of your life and what you experience. And so to me, it's like, yeah, it's something that I do every December. I'm not a professional critic. My lists are not like, I do not claim to be, comprehensive. These are the 10 best things. I look at other people's lists and I like to learn about different stuff, different culture. But for me, it's almost like it's not a ranking or anything. It's like a journal, a way to like take a moment to reflect on what was meaningful to me and what I connected with this year.
I'm trying to figure out how this isn't work, because like if you keep track of it all year long, then it's always on your mind. Like, oh, I have to remember this for my end of the year. Look back.
Right.
But if you don't do that, then in December, like,
You 100% lose stuff if you don't write it down. Yeah, no, it's that's right. And I know some people are very some people really get a pleasure in sort of like putting things in an order and like, you know, checking off their list or whatever. And that's a fine way to be, but just it's not how I am. For me, it's not like I'm gonna conquer this by, you know, listening to 200 albums or reading 50 books or something. But what I do is I keep a Google document through the year and I just like make a little note of something that was meaningful to me or special to me. And I guess it is work, but it's like, again, it's like a journal. It really is like a way of making a note about an experience that I've had. And yeah. And like in the reality is like a lot of the experiences that we have are cultural products that we take in.
One of the sections you have does deal with books, and we've got Margie in La Crosse who wants to offer a suggestion for something that was important this year. Hi, Margie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What makes the top of your list for 2020?
Yeah, so I'm calling about a book that was published back in January, actually, but I just split it in about a week ago. The book is called The Overground Railroad, The Green Book and the Roots of Black Travel in America, and it explores this travel guide that was created for Black folks back in the 50s and 60s that was a list of basically places that were safe for them to frequent, right? And it kind of opens up this freedom of travel for Black Americans across the country. So it was something I didn't know existed, this idea of a green book. Was in publication for about 20 years, and I would highly recommend the book for anyone who is interested in learning more.
Oh, Margie, thank you so much for that suggestion. We will add it to the list. You know, Rob, I heard there, Margie learned something new and it felt meaningful and relevant. What's one of the books on your list that hit you that way?
Super interesting. Well, so one of the, a, a, a major book this year was the book Cast by Isabel Wilkerson that is maybe related to what Margie's talking about a bit, because it's a book about the Black experience in America and the way that the racial caste system, and that is the word, and that there's Isabel Wilkerson makes an extended argument that is the right word for the way that that sort of racism operates in Americans. Really an interesting and compelling book. And I will say I read first The Warmth of Other Suns. I read this year by the same author, Isabel Wilkerson. That book is about 10 years old, but it has some explicit parts about the Green Book and about the hazards for African Americans, like traveling across the country in the 60s and earlier during the Great Migration. And that was a really those are a couple of really compelling books that I would recommend for anyone who's interested in those topics, for sure.
WPR's Rob Menser puts together a list of his favorite culture things for the year, things like movies, TV, albums, books. And we're talking about what's made the cut in 2020. And we want to hear what's at the top of your list. Give us your suggestion at 800-642-1234. You can call with a question, see if we've heard of what made your list. Maybe you have a recommendation for music we should listen to that's brand new this year, or just something you've stumbled upon in 2020, even if it's years old. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Rob, before we move on from books, The Glass Hotel is on your list. It's also on the list of Shireen Seward, host of Route 51 on WPR. Why is The Glass Hotel one of your great reads?
This is a novel about an isolated hotel on an island off the coast of the west coast of Canada. And it's a really well made novel, and about family and regret, and it really is cleverly constructed. The Glass Hotel is the second novel by Emily St. John Mandel, the author, and it may be notable to folks. Her first novel was a pandemic book about sort of a post-apocalyptic landscape and a group of a theater troupe that was moving through a United States that had been devastated. So she's a great novelist, really, really good.
I'm just saying, maybe it's something about Wausau if Shireen Seward and you both picked a central Wisconsin thing. Let's talk about some music here, because there's really great music. And one of the things that has come up repeatedly when we're talking to our colleagues is Fiona Apple and her album Fetch the Bolt Cutters. Let's take a listen.
I told you I didn't want to go to this dinner. You know I don't go for those ones that you bother about. So when they say something that makes me start to simmer, that fancy wine won't put this fire out. Oh, kick me under the table all you want. I won't shut up. I won't shut up.
So that's Under the Table by Fiona Apple. That's a favorite song on the list of Jennifer Dargan, the Ideas Network assistant director. And Maureen McCollum, who's the Wisconsin Life host and producer, also said some things about this. She says she thought it was the most important album of the year. It's a musical masterpiece and extremely relatable. Maureen says, I'm not very good at writing about music analysis, but the best way to sum it up is I feel like I've been waiting my whole life for this album. Wow. Like, such, it's really hit a lot of people in a lot of ways.
So I think Fetch the Bolt Cutters is a musical masterpiece. I would agree with Maureen McCollum, I also think that it's worth, you have to consider this album came out on April 17th. So this was basically 1 month after we had sort of started to understand what the pandemic was in earnest, and we were staying home, school was canceled, and all these things, and it was this really uncertain time. And so the pandemic has been hard in all kinds of ways. It's been hard every day since then. But those first weeks, we were all, I think we were all really getting our mind around the enormity of what we were going through. And then this record drops and comes out. And this is an experience that you can have at your home with just headphones on. And it really was like, that was a legitimately big deal in the, as part of 2020. And so I think that's one, I don't want to take away from the album itself. I think any year it came out, the album would be great. But I do feel like that is part of the emotional connection that I forged with this album, and a lot of people did. But it's great. I mean, it's raw and emotional, but it also has this sort of wryness to it. And this, you know, there's this bluesy growl that Fiona Apple can do, but also these very delicate moments is really good, really good.
We're talking with WPR reporter Rob Menser, who's based in Wausau, about his yearly tradition of writing a list of the favorite things that he's read or listened to, watched, and played throughout the year. And you're part of this conversation. We want to hear your favorites at 800-642-1234. What show or book or video game or album really left a mark on you this year? What did you enjoy the most? Give us a call now at 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina. Right now we're talking with Rob Menser, our rural communities reporter based in Wausau. He's sharing his tradition of writing an end-of-the-year list of his favorite media and culture things with us. You can join in and give us your suggestion at 800-642-1234. We asked Wisconsin Public Media staff for some of their favorites of 2020. Here are just a couple of them. Our technical director, Sarah Hopeful, says Glass Animal's new album, Dreamland, has been on repeat for me since it came out this summer. Jana Rose Schleiss is a network producer for the Ideas Network, who included the album Gaslighter by the Chicks on her list. She says a whole album of angry singing about the men who let you down felt on brand for 2020, and I kept returning to it. If you have a suggestion, give us a call. You can stick with the music topic now, or maybe you have a television show or a movie or a book that has stuck with you. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Let's stick, Rob, with that music theme and talk about Taylor Swift. Swift released two albums this year, which surprised fans. One of those albums, Folklore, made your list, and so did this song off of that called The Last Great American Dynasty.
Who knows if I never showed up, what could have been? There goes the loudest woman this town has ever seen. I had a marvelous time.
Rob, why this album and this song?
So I like Taylor Swift. I think everyone should like Taylor Swift. And really she's just a very clever songwriter and a good storyteller. And that the reason that I like this song so much is it has a really great story. It's a song about this wealthy socialite who had a bad reputation in the 1950s. And it's about the way that this woman sort of just didn't care how she was perceived, which is clearly something that Taylor Swift personally admires about her. And it draws you in. It's nice. The album Folklore and especially Evermore, this is Taylor Swift working with these indie rock producers, and they had a sort of slower and more ponderous production style. And to be honest, just for me, I wasn't always sure that always served her songs as well as it might have. I like this sort of poppier, hookier Taylor Swift, I guess. But I do think that like there's still like she's just a good songwriter. It's maybe coming out of Nashville and having the country music background. She knows the value of a good story song, and they work for me.
All right. We are making our own list here, maybe adding to Rob Menser's as we talk about what was most important or impactful for us in 2020. And we've got Caleb from Green Bay on the line. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What makes your list this year?
My list for a lot of the comic book readers in 2020, is the new Amazing Spider-Man run by Nick Spencer. He took off. you know, with brand new number one, and it's been going hard. It's been going real good for those readers. I mean, the story's real good. He's bringing back everything that we used to love about the original Spider-Man and reading about his kids, and he's putting a little bit of extra love in there. So it's been a real blast for my 2020.
Oh, cool. Caleb, thank you so much for sharing that with us. We also had Ben Kuehrle, who's a video promotions producer with PBS Wisconsin, who touched on some books, including Say Nothing by Patrick Radden Keefe. So want to make sure to get those in there if you're interested, alongside that suggestion from Caleb. And let's also now go to Ellen in Cedarburg, who has something to talk about for the list this year. Hey, Ellen.
Yes. Hi. I know everybody's doing new things. I kind of was rediscovering John Prine this year with his very unfortunate passing. And I can't get enough of it. I just really can't. The person who answered said, when I said, I guess I live in the past, he said, well, John Prine is the past, present, and the future. I love that.
Thanks so much, Ellen. We appreciate it. WPR's Rob Menzer, what about things like Ellen's experience digging into the past and rediscovering stuff?
I shared that experience with John Prine, who was, to my shame, not an artist that I had a great relationship with or hadn't really listened to until he died. And then, you know, it was an occasion to learn more about his songwriting and sort of mourn his loss. He died of COVID-19. And he's great. His last album is sort of an album about aging and a meditation on that. He's just an extraordinary songwriter. Another one, a similar experiences, was Adam Schlesinger, who was the songwriter for the television show My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and the songwriter for Fountains of Wayne. And when he died also of COVID-19 this year. And that was an occasion to listen back to a bunch of his songs. He was a really good, great songwriter as well. And so it's sad, but actually that is a time when people sort of come together and appreciate these artists, what they've given us.
Rob, you also include some TV and movie picks. We've talked even on this program about, you know, TV this year. One of the shows that makes your list is the show on Apple TV called Ted Lasso. Let's get a small taste of this show and take a listen.
I always figured that tea was just going to taste like hot brown water. And you know what?
I was right. Yeah, it's horrible.
No, thank you.
Welcome to England.
I thought I was going to hate this show, and I love this show, Rob. What's it about?
Right. This is so Ted Lasso is about an American college football coach from Kansas who improbably is hired to coach a British Premier League soccer team. And I agree with you completely. It is a show that should not be good, but it really is. It really is great. It's a fish out of water comedy. Like that clip you can hear. So he doesn't like tea, but he's in London, right? Like, and that is in a sense maybe sort of a tired trope in a way. But the show is just so delightful. You loved it as well.
I did, and I think that there's something like weird about it in that he's so optimistic, surrounded by people who have just like they lose a lot and everybody has ulterior motives, and he's just there like fighting the good fight every day with a smile, and it's like it's both draining and also kind of refreshing.
Right. And the show makes a point of not making his sort of optimism the butt of the joke. It is one of the most profoundly not cynical shows ever I've seen. It's like decency and good heartedness can actually be rewarded. And so it was like, to me, again, to tie it to, you know, 2020, I would have been like, I don't know, writing a story about the 2020 election or something, and then, you know, depressing state of the world, and then you get to go into this world where being decent was actually valued and rewarded. And so yeah, Ted Lasso was an absolute highlight.
Yeah, we're barely scratching the surface with this, but Rob, do you create like to read or still to watch lists for the future? Do you have some things already pegged for 2021?
I need to develop my list. I'll just shout out one more TV show that I'm, because I'm sort of in the middle of it. And it is a show, City So Real. It is available on Hulu, and it's a documentary series by the filmmaker Steve James, who's probably best known for doing the documentary Hoop Dreams, which is extraordinary. And so this is a documentary about the 2018 Chicago mayor's race, you know, sort of nominally, but it's really about the ways that Black residents live in a different city than white residents in Chicago, and the ways that different political questions are perceived differently into different neighborhoods and so on. And it's really just a extremely compelling piece of documentary work in the form of, I don't know, it's like four or five episodes to the series. I'm two or three in, and it's extremely good. Well done.
Excellent. Rob, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your suggestions with us.
Well, thank you.
Rob Mentzer is a reporter for WPR based in Wausau. We got a lot of suggestions from the audience, so thank you so much for that. He joined us to talk about his annual end of the year list of culture things in 2020. We have a link to Rob's list set up at our website. You can find that at WPR.org/Central Time, so you can take a look, maybe write a new list of your own to kind of recap what's happened and what's affected you in 2020 and set you up beautifully for 2021.